This is the Soundcheck Podcast.
Freshman in college, I was delivering pizza, but to deliver one pie, half an hour round trip. And college kids, man, they don't tip. And so I quit, and it was their law.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Walter Martin had lots of jobs before he became, presumably, rich and famous as a member of the indie rock band The Walkmen. I presume that because he calls this song Jobs I Had Before I Got Rich and Famous. Although I have to say, it's hard to tell in these songs when Walter is just telling you about his day and when he's slyly unspooling a tall tale. It's just one of the charms of his new album called Arts and Leisure. Walter Martin is here in the Soundcheck studio with his band, and they're going to start us off with a song named Charles Rennie Mackintosh.
Charles Rennie Mackintosh Charles Rennie Mackintosh, let's have another cup of tea before you wander off into the cold old Glasgow streets where the rain don't never stop. Charles Rennie Mackintosh, as the teapot steeps, I admire every line. And all the high back chairs go squeak, and the old tea kettles whine. I find myself at home, my friend, in a land that isn't mine. And oh, 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 you're a wise old man I know. And oh, 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 'cause when you built that Glasgow School of Art, you built it out of stone. Charles Rennie Mackintosh, you know I'd love to stay all week and drink all these teapots dry. But the tea ain't cheap in this room that you designed. I wonder what they're asking for a little shepherd's pie.
That song is called Charles Rennie Mackintosh, and you'll find it on the new album Arts and Leisure by Walter Martin, who is here with us on Soundcheck. Walter, good to see you again.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, with the band, Matt Barrick, your partner in Walkmen Crime for many years, behind our drum kit, Jamie Krentz playing the electric bass, Sam Cohen playing the electric guitar. I had to look up who this guy was. So he was a Scottish designer.
Architect. Designer in like the turn of the century, the turn of the last century, around 1900.
Right.
He just built, I don't know why, it's just one of those guys when I was studying art history, I just for some reason liked him. It may have even been his like name or something. I just, it's just that very clean lines, Art Nouveau sort of look. I don't know, I really liked it. And in Walkmen days, we... As musicians know, you spend a lot of time over in the UK, so we would often be in Glasgow. And so I got to go, you know, check out his stuff. He always had days off in Glasgow. So.
Yeah. Great music scene there in Glasgow.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Now, the last time you were here in the Soundcheck studio was with your previous album, We're All Young Together.
Right.
Which, obviously, you know, there was a theme holding that album together.
Yes, exactly.
Now, this album, Alexander Calder and Rembrandt and Van Gogh and, you know, all... and Mackintosh, they're all sort of tramping through these stories here.
Right.
So is this another thematic effort?
It's definitely a yes. I don't know why. It made me feel much more comfortable to have a theme in place. I guess I think I wanted to distract from. I didn't like the idea of having like a, hey, I'm making a solo album and having like myself like photographed on like a desert with my hair swept back kind of thing. So I felt like if I made it about something else, I could stomach saying that I made a solo album.
Now, the album begins the way this session began, with the song Jobs I Had Before I Got Rich and Famous.
Right.
Metropolitan Museum, the telephone switchboard, when a caller would ask for Philippe de Montebello, I'd transfer to my apartment where an unsuspecting fellow, my roommate Stuart, so sound asleep, would answer the phone when he heard the beep. Pretty quick, they'd realize that he wasn't Philippe.
Did you really have all those jobs?
I had all those. Yes. Yeah. All the details are real except for the part about becoming. I wrote this song when I was on tour and I was performing for zero people, so it was very clear that I wasn't rich and famous. So at the time, it made a lot of sense. Obviously, I'm not rich and famous. So yeah, I guess there's a verse about Billy Joel. At that point, it becomes sort of fantasy.
Yeah, the verse is you're working at the Cloisters and in walks Billy Joel and
right.
That's what...
Well, that was real. Billy Joel did come in, but it didn't necessarily inspire me in the way that it...
The way it was, the song
it's just
says,
when yeah. I thought, I was like, I gotta write about when I worked at the Cloisters. And the first thing that came to mind is, oh, Billy Joel came in, I'll write about that.
Yeah. The verse before that has you working at the Metropolitan Museum and as a telephone operator.
Right, yeah.
And when people would call asking for Philippe de Montebello, who ran the Met for decades.
Right.
You would transfer the call to your roommate back home.
Well, yeah, I figured out that you could, because I grew up loving prank calls and things like that, and I suddenly had this machine. It was one of that you could just sort of plunge the button, and so I would transfer people to, you know, anybody who's calling for Philippe de Montebello and they're calling the 19-year-old on the switchboard is probably doesn't deserve to talk to anybody. So I would transfer to the coat check or something. But then I realized that you could actually call any number you wanted. So I was like, hold on, I can just call my apartment. So my friend Stuart was often asleep. Matt lived in the same apartment. It was great. It was a lot of fun.
Well, I mean, and there is throughout this record a kind of plain-spoken quality to the lyrics.
Oh, good. I hope so. That's what I'm going for.
Which, you know, sort of echoes back to the family record. You know, We're All Young Together. Uh-huh. You have to sort of have... So was this kind of an adult outgrowth of that process?
Kind of, yeah. I think in doing that, I sort of got into the sort of a very conversational way of putting words together. Something about making it a kid's record, I was trying you make it, it requires a lot of specifics, I think. So I got really into specifics, and then in translating it to a more adult themed thing, writing about art history, I just like, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but I got really into it.
Yeah, and actually, now that you mention it, the idea of ultra-specific stuff in a song where we're so used to metaphor and, you know, allusion.
Exactly.
To actually have those kind of details can be really kind of funny.
It's fun. I mean, I find that, like, on Walkman tours, often I would want to listen to the modern country station because that's what the guys are doing. They're telling these usually I don't like their stories and I don't like the message at all, but they are telling very specific stories. And you could picture like the little boy doing whatever with his dad and drinking beer and the toes like in the beach or whatever.
Yeah. Are you by any chance a fan of Jonathan Richman and the Modern
Lovers? Oh, yeah, of course. Yes,
I mean,
hugely.
Listening to this record, that's kind of what it – I was trying to think, well, what does this remind me of?
Right. And, yeah, I mean, I felt very clever that I was doing all these art history songs. I was like, aha, this is great. Nobody does songs about art history. Then I was like, oh, hold on. Actually, Jonathan Richman does songs about
Pablo Picasso.
Yeah.
So is this a different way of writing? Do the words come first because they are so kind of specific?
They do, yeah. They do, definitely, yeah. I mean, I don't feel like I have a song unless I have the, like, a, it all, yeah, it usually starts with just the, something, your lyrical idea that I think is kind of funny. And then I try to make it into something that has some sort of depth to it. The ones that end up are only funny, I usually end up scrapping. But I have some that I think are funny, but they don't really mean anything.
Well, you know, the sculptures, the mobiles of Alexander Calder, I've been a huge fan of those
right.
You know, ever since I discovered him in high school.
Right.
Never struck me really as fodder for a song, but somehow you made that work, although with a kind of a little twist. What's going on in Calder's circus?
I don't know. I just wanted to, I've always really been drawn to that circus that he made, and I love the image of the sort of old man down on his knees making these, you know, because he's a toy maker before he was a sculptor artist.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and so I guess he lived in Paris in the 20s and 30s, and he would, you know, perform this miniature circus with all these little funny characters, like very detailed, amazing little things happening, and in front of all the sort of Paris art scene back then. And I don't know. I just really loved you can see footage of it at the Whitney, and of him on his knees just doing all this, all these funny toys and all the sort of pretentious Parisians looking on. I don't know. It seemed like a fun thing to write about.
All right, let's hear the song. It's called Calder's Circus. It's on Walter Martin's new album, Arts and Leisure. Walter and the band performing for us here in the Soundcheck studio today.
Alexander. No one knows how the red gets on the roads, but Alexander, we imitate, recreate, and approximate. Take out your whistle and give it a blow, mesdames et messieurs, let's start the show. Bent down on your creaky knees, you bring the life. Flying trapeze. Alexander, life looks good in wire, cloth, and wood.
Is called Calder's Circus, a tribute to the American artist Alexander Calder from Walter Martin. And you'll find that on the album Arts and Leisure. Once again, Walter singing and playing guitar, with Matt Barrick behind our drums, Jamie Krentz on electric bass, Sam Cohen on electric guitar. So, Walter, you studied art history as a student?
I did. I was lucky enough to go to a high school that had art history, I think starting maybe 10th grade or 11th grade. So I took it there, and then when I was in college, I had to major in something, so I was like, I was already doing music at that point, so I didn't really pay that much attention, so I've majored in art history.
So will this tour take you to like museums and stuff once you get going?
I'm playing at the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston, which I'm very excited about, and I think I'm going to hopefully do a show at the Met and hopefully some down in D.C.
So do you have the Boston Museum of Fine Arts, are you a fan of specific artists that they have there? Is that why you're all excited about that?
The tie into the album is that I have a song about John Singleton Copley, who's like an American portrait painter, and they have a lot of his stuff there. He was from Boston, actually.
Okay.
And he has this painting of this sort of funny looking little boy has a pet squirrel and a chain. So about that.
You actually speak this verse.
Oh, right. Yeah,
during
speech,
one of the
right. Yeah.
Because the song is about something else, and then
the song is the first few verses are about Watson and the shark, his painting of a shark attack, and then it goes into a verse about this funny looking little guy with a pet squirrel,
and it's really breaking the fourth wall because now this final verse is about
because I wanted to sing about that other painting and I didn't really know how to transition, so I thought if I just explained that there was no reason to sing about the other painting.
In the late 18th century, while across the ocean, artists were busy painting fancy ladies in their hats and dresses. A guy from Boston sat down and made a really big, really realistic painting of a guy being attacked by a shark. John Singleton Copley's Watson and the Shark captured my heart, excited my sense of adventure, and gave me my first sweet taste of the magic of art. So I thank him for that. This next and final verse is a little bit unrelated, but it's about another Copley painting of a really weird-looking little boy holding his pet squirrel. Hope you enjoy it. That little boy has got a flying squirrel on a long gold chain. He's got a squirrel.
So there is a kind of, I don't know, a folky, old-timey, homemade sound to a lot of the music on this record.
Yeah, I think, it is very homemade. The four of us did a bunch of stuff in a studio, proper studio, but a lot of it is very homemade. I think the way that so many people seem to work these days is homemade.
Yeah. Well, there is a kind of outlier on the record, and that is Down by the Singin' Sea, which
kind
of big, up-tempo, upbeat number, kind of almost surfy-sounding thing. It doesn't seem to have, as far as I can tell, much to do with art history.
It has nothing to do with art history.
But it has an amazing video.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. I'm glad you like it. Yeah, that was. I think I made the title Arts and Leisure so it allow me to have a couple. You need a little breather. You don't want to hear about like American portrait painters for 40 minutes. So I put on like a beach song and a song about being old.
Right.
I was making this. I made this trailer for the record that sort of walked you through a few songs, and I just in researching on the internet, I was looking for people dancing, and I found this gang in Moscow who does swing dancing, and I wrote to them, and this very nice fellow Sergi wrote me back and seemed interested in the idea, and I sent them the song, and they really liked the song, and all the dancers were very excited about the concept. So they ended up sending me a lot of footage of them dancing, and they're just so, there's something about them that they're just so incredibly uninhibited.
Yeah.
And
they're all young.
Yeah, they all look, but there's a sort of a range. It looks like they're about in their 20s, 30s maybe.
Yeah, yeah. And were they dancing to you? Did you send them the song? Were they dancing to your song?
They weren't dancing to my song, but I had sent them my song.
Yeah.
Sticks make a bridge, spans the ditch, protects the princess from the witch, shells off on the castle wall, see the water rise up.
live singers.
It's a great video. It's online. We're speaking with Walter Martin, and the album is called Arts and Leisure. The album does get a little more pensive towards the end, it seems.
Right. I decided to have a section about – I turned 40 last year, so I wanted to have a section about getting old, especially since my first record was about being young. I thought it would be nice to actually be honest and talk about being old. So, yeah, I have a song called – we're actually do it called Old as Hell, and then the one called The Tourist, which is the last one, was sort of my attempt to be sort of sentimental about – I don't know, about touring, about traveling the world and collecting stuff and then sitting there and watching and realizing that,
yeah,
wondering what it adds up to.
Well, this song, Old as Hell, really is it's a lovely number. And you guys are going to do it for us now?
Yes.
All right. Live on Soundcheck, here's Walter Martin and the band.
I can't tell. And my life's been a cherry pie, but I'd like a couple more years before I say goodbye. A couple more stormy Sunday mornings, eating bacon.
That's called Old as Hell from Walter Martin. And boy, with Sam switching off to the pedal steel guitar, that has a really nice country twang to it.
Well, thanks.
Are you nostalgic for the days of touring, and as you mentioned before, that song?
A little bit, actually. It was funny that Matt and Jamie and I were driving around in a car last night, and I realized I was telling so many like foul jokes, and I really acted sort of a lot of locker room talk came up, and I realized that it's because I haven't, because I don't go on tour anymore, and suddenly I was with the boys, and it just comes out of me.
Yeah. Now, on the last record, you know, Hamilton Lighthouser, also of the Walkmen, was a guest on one of the songs.
Uh-huh.
You got Matt here, you know. I mean, so the Walkmen are all independently doing stuff and busy. If the stars should align and the band gets back together, do you think, having written the family record and this record with these kind of this different lyrical approach, do you think that will change the way you would write songs?
I don't know.
With the band?
I've never thought about it. It's hard to imagine. Right now, I'm so involved in this that it's hard to imagine sitting down and doing Walkman stuff. I think we would probably all agree. It's just, but at some point we might. But you never know. I have no idea. But I don't. That's a good question. I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, and you won't know, I guess, until that day comes and you try it. But it just seems like, you know, the writing process has either subtly or not altered for you in the last few years.
Yeah, I think it definitely has, very much so. I think that for all of us, it would feel strange to suddenly be doing our group thing again, because collaborative work is so different.
Yeah.
I don't know. I honestly can't get I'm getting like a headache. I can't get my head around it.
I think this record is so much fun.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Arts and Leisure is the name of the album. And then a couple of select museum gallery shows in the summer. And,
yep.
All right. Well, that sounds like a great time. Walter, thanks so much for bringing the band in and playing
for us.
Well,
thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Walking down the street with a crazy name. And Dad keeps walking in the bike lane. While admiring all those window frames. Maybe I'll learn Dutch when I get home. It sounds great now, but I probably won't. I know I probably won't.
By the way, we shot video of today's session. Find it at soundcheck.org. And if you subscribe to WNYC's YouTube channel, we'll update you every time we post new videos. That does it for this installment of the Soundcheck podcast. Thanks for listening.
Here I am in Amsterdam.